the silent majority I'm taking as affirmation. Okay, so last week Tracy and I met with our son and his fiance for lunch, and so we decided to meet them halfway. So we went online and we found a town halfway between us. They drove there, we drove there, both used sat navs just in case there was a problem on the way. We arrived before them, we found a cafe, went in the cafe, went on WhatsApp, dropped a pin. Therefore, when they arrived, they could see the pin and they could find where we were. Like many cafes, there was a QR code that you could scan, you could order online. While Tracy and Beck were talking, without them knowing, Sam and I were scrolling and keeping up to date with the football. Now, for some of you, that is the world in which you were raised. But for some of you, you still remember a time where there were newspapers and bank statements, and where you would go into a shop before you would make a purchase. You see, the internet has changed a great deal. But what I want to argue this morning is this, that the internet hasn't changed everything, because it can be used for good, but it will also be used for bad. Because actually, technology and science and education and politics only changes so much. Because the problem with the world isn't out there. The problem with the world is in here. The problem with the world is to do with hearts that are hardened against God, that refuse his love, that are not humbled by his grace, that don't see Jesus as Lord. And over the last few weeks, I've been really encouraged and challenged by the scripture that's already come up. Now, with it being all-age worship, what we've got is we've got some colouring for the children. And for those who are a little bit older, you can follow with a worksheet. Three questions. One word I didn't understand. One thing that surprised me. And one thing that God has spoken to me. So if you want to grab that, there are some pens at the back as well if you want to get one. Okay, so we're going to read this. Acts chapter 1, very familiar passage. Once, when he, that is Jesus, was eating with them, he commanded them, "Do not leave Jerusalem until the Father sends you the gift he promised, as I told you before. John baptized with water, but in just a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, "Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and to restore our kingdom?" He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my," wait for it, "witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth." I want to talk about www.witnessesforjesus, something I've come up with in the week. It's not brilliant, but hopefully it's a way by which you will remember. So what are we called to be? What is it, children and young people, to be a witness? Now, I want you to imagine that I leave this building and I walk across the marketplace and I hear a car driving much too fast, and I look up and see, just as this car hit someone, sending them helplessly in the air, I watch, I witness as they crash to earth with a bang. I then phone 999. The ambulance comes, followed by the police. And the police ask a question. Are there any witnesses? They don't want to speak to you because I've told you about it. They want to speak to me because I witnessed it, because I heard it, because I saw it. Now, the Bible is largely written by witnesses, people who heard what Jesus said, who saw what Jesus did. And yet the remarkable thing is this, that 2,000 years ago, he calls us also to be witnesses. But surely we can't be witnesses because we didn't hear, we didn't see. Well, in the book of Romans, it says this, that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in you, lives in me. And so this same Spirit witnesses, testifies to us about the risen, living, loving Lord Jesus. And so our testimony isn't a second-hand testimony. But I can give and you can give a first-hand testimony of the love of God revealed in Jesus. And so this www. dot, I think, stands for three things. You can mark them on your worksheet. The first is this. We are called to use words. Anyone got a Bible? Not on the phone. The Bible is full of words. The Bible starts with a word. The Bible starts with God speaking and God saying, let there be light. And guess what? There was light. And then all the way through the first 39 books, God is continuing to speak about a promise, a saviour, a Messiah. And Jesus comes. And the Bible says this, that the Word became flesh, literally became skin and bone, and the message says moved into our neighbourhood. Isn't that good? The Word was not something that could simply be heard, but now could be seen. And Jesus spoke words, but Jesus spoke as one who had authority. On one occasion, he called a dead man out of a grave, Lazarus, come out. On one occasion, he stood on the stern of a boat and the wind and the waves were crashing. And Jesus said, be still. And guess what? The wind and the waves were still. And Jesus' followers said, this is amazing. Even the weather obeys him. And then we find that the one who lived was the one who died. And the one who died was the one who was raised. And the women who were following Jesus, they went to the grave. And there an angel said, I want you to go. And I want you to speak words. I want you to go and tell. And that's the very instruction that Jesus gives us. So let me ask you a question. How do we go and tell others about Jesus? Well, look at this. That's a massive, massive stadium with loads and loads of people in it. And there's one guy on the stage who's preaching all about Jesus. Is that a good thing or a bad thing? It's a good thing. Is it the only thing? It's not the only thing. Because I think sometimes our lives look a little bit like this. And so it might be that we never stand on a big stage and preach to thousands of people, but all of us will find ourselves at school or in a workplace or in a coffee shop. And I reckon tomorrow most of us will be asked this question. What did you do at weekend? And you could say, well, we chilled. Or you could say, nothing much. Or you could say, we caught up with friends. Or you could say, we went to church. And I reckon most people would then be asked a second question. What on earth did you do that for? And so if we are going to be those who use words to tell others about Jesus, we need to be looking for opportunities in which to speak. Okay, so the first thing is, first W, second W? What about works? What about works? I was reading this week an article about body language. So let's just think that my friend Terry said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "Yes." What would Terry think? He would think I was lying. Why? Because I'm saying one thing, but I'm doing another. It's called body language. Now just think of the church. The church is a family. The church is a temple. The church is a bride. That's what the Bible says. But the church is also a body. And so what if we say, "God loves you"? Will anyone believe us? No, because actually words need to be revealed with works. And so who do we love? Well, the Bible says this, that we need to love one another. I've got my slides mixed up. We need to love one another. Jesus said this, "I'm going to give you a new commandment, a new instruction." And the disciples must have thought, wow, this is going to be tough. This is going to be really difficult. We could fall here at the first hurdle. And Jesus said, this is what you need to do. You need to love other people and one another just as I have loved you. And so in a world that's fractured and broken, in a world that's divided, God wants us to love as a body. This is a picture that I took. That's the first one. Love as a body. This is the second. Jesus. He fed 5,000 men and women and then children with a small boy's picnic. And do you know what he then did? He then said, "I am the bread of life." You see, his words and his works matched up. Jesus didn't just proclaim, but Jesus demonstrated his love and his grace to others. And so God calls us to love one another. And God calls us to love the world in which we live. How do we do that? We do it by drawing close to him. We do it by discovering his love and his grace. We do it by laying aside our preferences and our prejudices. We love it by realizing that these people that we struggle with, Jesus Christ died to save. And then God gives us a love for those that we might find unlovely. So what's the first W? Second W, kids? Third W, anyone want to have a guess? I reckon it's that. It's wonders that we're going to look at now. So in the passage we read to start with, we find that there is 120 followers of Jesus packed in an upper room a little bit like this. And Jesus had instructed them. He said, "I want you to go into all the world. I want you to be my witnesses everywhere." And you know the first thing you've got to do? The first thing you've got to do is the most difficult thing that you will ever do. The first thing you've got to do is wait. These were activists. These were people who were ready to roll. These are people who had left everything to follow Jesus and had seen him risen from the dead. And Jesus said, "No, I want you to wait. Because what I'm going to call you to do, you can't do in your own strength. What I'm going to call you to do, you can only do in my strength. You can't do it because you're committed. You can only do it because you are filled by the Spirit of God." And Jesus said to his disciples that you are going to be my witnesses. And he said you're going to be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, Samaria, and to the very ends of the earth. Now if you get your Bible, you can see how this happens. You can see these disciples moving from Jerusalem to Judea, into Samaria, and then to the very ends of the earth. But I want to take a fresh look at this as we finish. I want to look at it not in terms of geography, but in terms of people's comfortability. Let me explain. Jerusalem was the place where the disciples were. And Jesus said, I want you to be my witnesses where you are. Now, where are you this morning? Shout it out. Where do you live? Benson, Brightwell, Chalgrove, Didcot, Brightwell. That's where you live. Jesus said, where you are is where you are going to be witnesses. Now, I don't know if you've ever considered this, but actually this wasn't a very comfortable place for the disciples. It was a place where they were threatened. But Jesus said, here, by the power of my Spirit, you to use words and works and wonders to be my witnesses. And Jesus said, not just in Jerusalem, but in Judea. Do you know where Judea was for the disciples? It was home sweet home. It was where people talked like them. It was where people recognized them. And sometimes home is the most difficult place to witness. It's the most problematic place to be different. But it's actually at home in our families where Jesus wants us to be witnesses. And the third place, Jesus said, is in Samaria. And this was a landlocked place. If you were going to the north from the south, you would avoid Samaria because people in Samaria didn't like you and you didn't like them. It was a place where they were uncomfortable. Now, when I was a sales manager, I used to have to go to somewhere that I really didn't like. I used to have to go there and entertain my customers. Pete Whiting, can you guess where this was? It was Old Trafford. It was the last place in the world I wanted to be. And you know, oddly, actually, I had to go. But as I went, not just as a sales manager, but as a Christian, I had the opportunity to talk to people, not just about football, but about Jesus. And sometimes God calls us from the place that we feel comfortable to somewhere we don't feel comfortable. And there, by the power of His Spirit, He calls us to be witnesses. And lastly, He calls us not just where we are, not just where we call home, not just where we don't want to go, but He calls us to the ends of the earth. And I believe that God would call some people here. God would call us to go intentionally and make Jesus known. Through words, works, and wonders, but not in your strength, but in the strength that He gives. So I just want us to take a moment. I'm going to ask the musicians to come up. But I just want us to pray together. And I want us to consider these four places. Okay. You might just want to lift your hands if you struggle. Does anyone struggle being a witness where they are? Anyone struggle with that? You might just want to lift your hands. Okay. That's Jerusalem. What about Judea, the place that we call home? With people who have known us the longest, people who know the worst about us. Does anybody find it difficult to be a witness here? What about this place? The place that we don't want to go. It might be the workplace where you have a difficult relationship with the boss. Might be someone in the neighbourhood who you want to curse and not bless. Anybody struggle in this place? And what about the ends of the earth? The place that you can't imagine. Is there something that's tugging? Is there a God who's speaking and challenging you? Jesus says we can't do this alone. We can only be witnesses in the strength of His Spirit. And I know it's all age worship, but this morning, children, young people, older people, I believe that God is speaking to us and God is challenging us. And if you know that God is calling you to be something that you're not, a witness to his resurrection life in the power of his Spirit, I just want you to stand and I want to pray with you. So if you believe that God is speaking to you about Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, or the very ends of the earth, I just want you to stand now and we're going to pray. Okay? Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you for the incredible privilege that you call us to make Jesus known. And Lord, we can't do that in our own strength, but only in the power of your Spirit. So even now, Lord, we pray, Holy Spirit, that you would come and fall afresh upon us in such a way that there is a new spring in our step, that there is a new excitement in our spirit, that there is a deeper, richer love of you. And Lord, where we struggle, we just bring that struggle before you. Where we are afraid, we remember the scripture that Nigel shared. Lord, where we're proud and we struggle and we're ashamed, Lord, I want to thank you for your grace upon us. Equip us, enable us, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.